I speak to you in the name of our one God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. In the last weeks of his life, my grandfather would get a twinkle in his eye. He would smile, he would hold up his finger and look you right in the eye and say, "I'm going to meet my maker." He would then poke his finger in the air for emphasis. He was a faithful Episcopalian his whole life, and he believed in eternal life. And he understood eternal life to be a moment of seeing and knowing God, his maker, in a new way. He understood eternal life as one's new state of being after death in heaven. So he talked about this moment of entering heaven as meeting his maker, and he looked forward to it. Now, with all due respect to my grandfather, in the reading from the Gospel of John today, I think Jesus wants us to understand the meaning of eternal life and meeting our maker differently. He wants us to know that we can have eternal life now. We can meet our maker now, meet our God now, while we live and breathe on this earth, in this life. And he promises this to us, in fact. Let's just back up and remind ourselves where we are with the Gospel of John. We are in the fourth of five Sundays in John chapter 6. That's a lot. John 6, chapter 6, begins with a miracle of the loaves and fishes and moves from that physical feeding of thousands of people to the verses we heard today about Jesus as the bread of life that came down from heaven. In fact, this is the third Sunday in a row that we've heard about Jesus as the bread of life, and we have one more next week. There are times when I think that the author of John could have used a really good editor. Just in this chapter 6 alone, there are redundancies galore, there are run-on sentences like you would not believe, and there are verses that are actually kind of gross. I mean, who wants to talk about Jesus' flesh and blood, just like we heard now? It reminds me of something out of middle school, and I have a fifth grader, so I know what I'm talking about here. This kind of gross-out factor of eating flesh, and then the literal interpretation provided by our backseat drivers, the Jewish establishment. How could this possibly be that we eat the flesh and drink his blood? So literal. So an editor would have been nice. And yet, for all this repetition and shock value, we can see one thing clearly. These passages are important. They are designed to get our attention. Jesus uses the words flesh and blood in today's reading, which are a bit off-putting, in a way to refer to his life. Now, you've heard that expression, flesh and blood, to refer to someone, as in she showed up in flesh and blood right in front of me, we didn't think she would make it, and there she was. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Showing up in flesh and blood, his incarnation, God embodied as a human being here on earth. But if that's the case, why not just say it that way? And instead of using all this bread imagery, what is Jesus, why is he talking about himself as bread? Well, certainly bread in Near Eastern early culture was elemental. It's what kept people alive. It's what God gave the Israelites in the desert when they were hungry, when they were fleeing from Egypt. Manna was what they called that gift of bread from God. And today, even you and I know that bread feeds our physical hunger. But Jesus came in flesh and blood to remind us that we have more than physical hungers and cravings. We have spiritual hungers and cravings. We hunger for life's big questions to life. We hunger for answers to life's big questions. We hunger for more than material solace in our lives. We hunger for nourishment that fills the void in our hearts. We hunger for what Jesus offers. And Jesus came to feed that spiritual hunger with his life. So when we look at the passage this way, Jesus is using bread as a metaphor. Since it is bread that feeds us physically, Jesus calls himself the living bread and the bread of life because he feeds us spiritually. Okay, well then what about the living part, the bread of life part? Why not simply say, "I am the bread"? Well, it's not poetic, for sure. But it also misses the point in the passage that our lives, our living, depend on Jesus. When we accept Jesus in flesh and blood as God incarnate on earth, then we are living, truly living. when we let him feed our spiritual hunger, not with money, not with professional power, not with social power, not with possessions, but with him, with himself, with his love and mercy and sense of justice, then we are living, truly living. When we seek to know more about who Jesus was and what he taught, when we can't get enough of Jesus in our hearts, when we do our best to follow his wisdom and teachings, when Jesus sustains us in a way we didn't even know possible, then we are living, truly living. So when Jesus becomes for us all-consuming, when Jesus abides in us and we abide in him, when we meet our Maker in these moments, then we are living, truly living. This is what Jesus means, I think, when he says, "I am the bread of life," because without him, we are not truly living. We need him to live. Now, this way of looking at the text focuses on the incarnation, Jesus as flesh and blood, and our response to it. But let's take this a little further, because I don't think we can deny that this text also points to the Eucharist, that moment in our worship when we take the bread and wine. There isn't another text in the Gospel of John that points to the Eucharist. This Gospel doesn't have a Last Supper scene where Jesus blesses the bread and wine. That's in the other Gospels. Instead, the author of the Gospel of John offers us this passage, which he wrote for his community of followers, of Jesus' followers. This community celebrated Holy Communion on a regular basis. About halfway through the text today, the language shifts so that the word "eat" is really about the physical eating of bread, which is what they were doing at their communion, and it's what we do at our communion when we take the bread and the wafer. It's what people have done for almost 2,000 years. Now, before you take the bread at communion, Karen and I pray over the bread and the wine, and we ask God's Holy Spirit to sanctify them to be for your people the body and blood of your Son. Being the Episcopal Church, we don't tell you exactly how this happens or how you're supposed to interpret this passage. But what the passage from today's Gospel reading tells us and helps us understand is that whatever the mechanics might be, when we take the bread and drink the wine at communion, Jesus abides in us and we in him. We commune with Jesus at that moment. That's why I'm calling it Holy Communion in this sermon, to focus on this abiding in and communing with Jesus. And so the words that we heard or read in this Gospel passage, and we read them as metaphor or symbol, at communion they become reality. At communion, we satisfy our spiritual hunger through a physical activity, this physical taking of the bread of life. At communion, we meet our Maker in this very physical way. The promise of the incarnation and the promise of communion are the same. When Jesus, as the bread of life, abides in us and we in him, we receive eternal life. Eternal life is the province of the divine, and when we participate in it through the incarnation and through our Holy Communion, we also participate in that province of the divine. Eternal life, it is a promise. It is the promise of God's deep intimacy and engagement in our lives. It is the promise of God's care and love and protection. It is the promise of faith and grace and relationship with God that is to be trusted and embraced. Eternal life is the promise that Jesus Christ is the source of our life. It is the promise that when we accept Jesus as the bread of life, we are participating in Jesus' relationship with God. We're participating in the divine. It is the promise of living, truly living. And this is why I say we can meet our Maker now. We can have eternal life now. These are not things to wait for until we pass away. They are things that are here in our worship, in living our lives as faithful, prayerful followers of Jesus, and in participating in communion. So later today, this morning, when you come forward for communion, whether you eat and drink the bread and the wine or you receive a blessing, know that you are meeting your Maker in that moment. You're meeting God in that moment. And it is this meeting between you and God in this way that brings all of us to eternal life. Amen.